This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 78. Today, CJ and I are going to talk about some of our takeaways from the Microsoft Build and Ignite conferences the past 2 weeks, recorded live Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Andrew Connell.
And I'm Chris Johnson.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it. Hey, CJ, feeling a little more rested?
Oh, man, I need another week in bed, buddy.
Oh, my God. not another week in bed with buddy. No, that's not what you were saying, right?
No, another week in bed, buddy.
Yeah, I hear you, man. So I did three shows in a row. And
how did you do that?
I really am still not sure because I got home. I left Ignite on Tuesday, so I was only there for 2 days. I left Ignite on Tuesday, and the rest of the week, I was in a complete fog. I finally came down on like Thursday afternoon. I came out of my office, was talking to my wife, and I was like, I think these 2 days are just going to be a wash. I'm just going to get stuff done, but I don't think I'm going to try and get work done. I think I'm just going to try and get cleaned up.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet on the home front here in terms of like Jeremy and Sonia and some of my team are out. And I made the foolish mistake of coming to work, but I'm taking tomorrow, which would be Thursday and Friday, off. Mm. I feel the same. I feel like I'm just walking around like a zombie. Really fun shows, though. Like, really enjoyed them. But, man, those things take it out of you.
Man, I walked out of the last day I was there. I had kind of like a back-to-back kind of schedule. I did an interview on Channel 9. I did a theater talk. And then I did a breakout session. And after the breakout session, I walked by the Office 365 pavilion. I said hi to a few friends, or said bye to a few friends, I should say. And I went back to the hotel, I got a shower, I got in the cab, and I put my head back, and someone texted me later on that evening. They said, how long did it take in the cab that time of day from the hotel to the airport? I was like, about $45.
Yeah.
And they're like, I said, no, how much time? And I said, I have no idea, because I slept the entire way.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked to be heading home. How about you? Like, what's it been like? You got back, chilling out, catching up on chores at home, no doubt.
It's been good. It's good to be home. It's good to be, I tell you, you come home from, you know, being gone for 3 weeks, and then it's all of a sudden, you know, I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Yep.
They come right back at you, and you're like, I'm not used to having conversations with the small people.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about it. It's really hard. You know, I explained it to my wife. I said, she was looking at me. She was like, you all right? And I was like, I just don't feel like talking to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I felt like I just was talking nonstop for like 2 weeks straight. And I used up all my word quota, man. I'm just out of words.
Yeah.
All I want to do is sit on the couch, watching a fire, you know, El Bundy style, and being like, you know, totally zoning out. Anyway.
I'm right there with you. I was maxed out. She looked at me and, oh man, I came home on Tuesday, and on Thursday, I find out that I have a science project that I have to help finish. And I also have to help study for a social studies test and do dinner. And I'm sitting there at the dinner table and I looked at him. And I know, you know, we're parents, we do that stuff, we're used to it. But after those 3 weeks, she came home and she's like, you look, you're about to explode. And I'm like, nope, I'm just going to make it to 8 o'clock when they're in bed. And then I'm going to get a shower and I might be in bed. She goes, we're not going to talk. I'm like,
I'm done.
No, we're not talking. Even if I'm awake, we're not talking. I'm just going to bed.
Yeah.
She goes, do you want a beer? I'm like, nope. I will fall asleep in the shower if I have a beer right now.
Oh my God, beer. Booze is the last thing I could do after those shows.
It was quite the detox.
Hey, so what are you, like, putting you on the spot for a second? If you were to say, what was your highlight and your one highlight and one low light from those two shows, from Ignite and Build, what would you say that they were?
Wow. Do I have to do one, or can I throw like one or two?
Yeah. No, you got to go one each.
I got to go one each. Oh, crap.
I can start if you want.
Go for it.
I'll start to give you a little bit more, less on the spot. I would say the highlight for me was our team put on the office stuff at Build and at Ignite, right? And I would say just the reception and the level of interest in building and developing things for Office and Office 365 was really good. Like, I was really proud of everything the team did and just seeing everybody engaged at the show. Like, at the booths, asking questions, doing the mini labs that we had there, just really participating. That just really blew me away. And it was a ton of work to do, but it really paid off. I think that was the highlight for me. I think the low light, gosh, the low light, I would say, is not having more time in the keynote at Build. So we got, like, it's kind of a highlight and a low light. The fact that we were in the keynote's great. Like, we got 15 minutes up on stage with Satya to talk about office development. But I also feel like it was a little bit of a low light in that we could have done, you know, twice as much stuff and shown off a whole bunch of other things that we couldn't. And so I personally would have liked to have seen more of our stuff in the keynote, obviously. But hey, I'm biased. I'm not sure everybody else would have, but...
Yeah, I'm a little biased too, because I remember sitting there. I sat with Jeremy Thake and Dave Pei and Doreen Brown and Chax and Richard Zerga, and I was like, same thing. When I watched what was going on during the keynote, so like the 12 minutes, I'm like, man, you guys are doing some cool stuff, and that's all the time you're going
to
get.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you know, Windows and Azure have a lot of stuff to talk about, and that primarily led it. But, you know, being totally selfish, I would have liked to have seen more office stuff in there, obviously.
I still think I'm going to be a little unbiased, but I'll still say it. I thought that there was not much, to me, Azure kind of just kind of showed up at Build without much to show. Huh. Not much like, here's what's new. And that was a little disappointing. I was expecting a lot more from them.
That's not the first time I heard that. And you know what's also weird is that they came out with news
all the time.
Yeah, all the time. And not even that long before Build. And that sort of surprised me at the time, thinking, oh, why wouldn't you just save that up for Build, you know?
Especially that whole thing with web apps and logic apps and the mobile. I saw that. I'm like going, well, they're announcing that early because they got so much more stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I understand. I'm sure there's some sort of rationale behind it, but I'm not privy to it. So I've got no idea.
It was disappointing, but I'm glad you said what your first one was, because I know you guys, seeing the reception you get, you said you were really happy about it. I'll be honest. I was very surprised at the number of web devs and Windows devs that were coming up to the Office 365 booth and showing that people were actually interested in that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really surprised by it. But I'd say, so for the highlight, I'm not going to say the same thing you said. It was kind of I'm torn on two of them. I will say I had a really good time spending time with people that I don't normally get to spend time with.
Yeah, yeah.
People that were, I knew of them. They knew of me. We had worked together virtually, as we've never spent time together. Mm. And it was the same group that we had from between Build and Ignite. I think I was the only one that didn't work for Microsoft, but it was really good hanging out with a core group of like 5 to 7 people over the course of Build Ignite and having some really good conversations, not all work related.
Yeah.
But I really, really enjoyed that. That's one. The other one I'm torn on, or that I was taken back by, was the interest level in JavaScript or Node.js at both Build and Ignite.
Yeah, you guys had packed rooms, right? For your at Build, it was you and Dan Wallin, and Ignite, it was just you, right?
It was just me. Yeah, it was supposed to be me and Jeremy, but I did the session. And they locked the doors on my session 15 minutes before it even started, and they wouldn't let me start early. And so I'm trying to kill time for 15 minutes because the room was packed, and it was a really cool feeling. And it was a great crowd. I screwed up the session a little bit. I should have spent more time with Angular, but I ran out of time at the end. So,
and we gave away 1,000 Raspberry Pis at Ignite.
That was fun.
That was really cool.
Yeah. So I guess those are my two highlights. My low light.
Doing 3 weeks back to back.
I was going to say getting hit by a car.
Oh yeah, you did too. That's right. That's right.
Wasn't really hit.
Knocked over by a car.
Yeah. So it made more news when Jeremy talked about it in his podcast. And then my wife's like, what?
What's going on?
You got hit by a car? I'm like, ah, damn it, Jeremy.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big deal. Just tore my jeans and my knee was sore for a few days. But it was great shows, man. I was really thrilled to be part of both of them. I'm watching the response come back from Ignite, and I'm really curious to see how it changes for next year, because I know they've already announced the same one for next year.
Yep.
But beyond that, I mean, I'm not one for really, really big crowds. And
it was a huge show.
It was hard to get from one area to the next area. Mm. I remember walking in on the expo and I was like, oh, this is totally not my scene. And I mean, y'all had a huge booth for 365.
Yep.
But it was it just, I don't know, it was kind of, it'll be interesting to see everybody's feedback. And I'm curious for the listeners, if you guys have feedback on it, if you guys wouldn't mind going to the show on the podcast and leaving a comment. But I mean, it was for, as a presenter, I loved it because it was one show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got to meet with the people, everybody at Microsoft. It was like all hands. So you got to meet with everybody at Microsoft. But outside of that,
here's how I think it'll play out. Like I'm biased. I liked it. I was actually pretty pleased with how it turned out. But having said that, here's how I think people will receive it. I think the SharePoint people that used to go to the SharePoint conference will come away not totally disappointed, but moderately disappointed. And I say that by, what I mean by that is, they went from going to a show that they honestly felt buy-in and ownership and responsibility for with SharePoint conference, and they're going to a show that's not just their show anymore, right? It's a lot of other different products and people there and things like that. So they don't have that same sense of ownership, or it's not their people. You know what I mean? Mm. Not just their people. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be quite a change for those folks to get used to. On the flip side, I loved it from that point that you just brought up about talking to other people outside of the office and SharePoint world, like, you know, talking with Dan and Co about, you know, Angular and JavaScript development and all of those other things, you know, that was really cool. And I kind of liked that. I loved wandering the expo hall, apart from all the hordes of people. I spent probably a good chunk of time, maybe 2 hours on Thursday, just walking the expo hall. And I sort of turned my name badge around so people didn't know that I worked at Microsoft. And I was just sort of, you know, walked the hall and saw the different folks that were exhibiting and what products they had or what services they were offering and things. And there are some really cool new companies out there that I'd never heard of before and didn't know anything about. And so I thought that was really good. Like, it was just exposure to new stuff that I hadn't really seen in a while. So yeah. I thought that was good. But there's pros and cons of anything, right?
Agreed. I do like that. I love the fact that it was in a different city than we normally are at for conferences. So that was nice.
Yeah, I like Chicago. That was fun.
I did too. I thought they did a good job with it. I mean, I thought I was worried about the logistics, but that might have been the best travel arrangements. At least the hotel I was in, it was a piece of cake to get on a shuttle and back and forth to the conference center.
I thought that was going to be a cluster beep.
Yeah. I was expecting to sit there and be using taxis quite a bit.
Yeah. I had my Uber at the ready.
Same here.
No, it went off without a hitch for the most part for me. I thought it was great.
Cool.
Hey, so there's a few things we should talk through, I guess.
I guess we can just ramble on. That's about where our heads are. But we do. There was a little bit of news that came out of these two shows.
A little. Should we start with rumor and speculation?
Sure. What the hell? Why not?
As opposed to actual news?
The fact that you're buying Salesforce?
Oh, yeah. Apparently that's the rumor, right? Hey, and I should caveat this by saying I have absolutely no idea if there's anything to this or not, right? I'm not involved in anything. I'm not, you know, my job here has nothing to do with this. So I should caveat this conversation with that. Everything you hear out of my lips from this point on is my personal take on it and complete rumor and speculation. So
does not reflect the views and position of your employer, Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
How's that?
There you go. Yeah.
There's the disclaimer.
I thought this was a really interesting rumor. I read this on the web and I was like, whoa. What the hell?
Hey, the Dynamics CRM guys were like, whoa.
I bet they're slightly more than whoa.
But fuck.
Yeah. But it seems like, so I've heard Oracle's in the running. I've heard IBM. I've heard Microsoft. I've heard Amazon is in the running, or not running. Maybe that's the wrong word to use. But the web is speculating, or rumoring, I should say, that all these companies are kind of vying for Salesforce at a price point of like $50 billion.
Their market cap is 64, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it is now after the rumors started. I think it's 50 billion or maybe 55 at the time or something like that.
It's funny. That was the rumor going around both in San Francisco during Build and at Ignite. And you even saw like a bunch of little banners about, you know, Microsoft plus Salesforce, but it was more like partners. There was just so much stuff that was going on around that. That was just like, man, there's a lot of smoke around here. Is there some fire going?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm of two minds about it. You know, I'm on the one side, I think like, having Salesforce nicely integrated, like we're doing all the stuff for them in Office anyway, right? We're doing all of this integration work. Like, it makes sense for customers, but good Lord, that's a big company.
That's a big company. That's a big integration to put together. So that's a, yeah, that'd be crazy. I thought that Yammer was a big purchase, but this would be like, ah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I have no idea what something of that size would take to pull off.
A whole new division that's just for integration.
I think it'd be pretty interesting. But at that price, man, I could think of a whole lot of other stuff I'd rather do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that one, I'm kind of like, I'd want to sit back and have someone kind of explain, here's why this makes sense for Microsoft to do this. Right? It's kind of like the when the Minecraft thing happened. Like, why does this make sense? I do understand it, but I don't understand it.
Mm.
Is it just a purchase that's trying to be made? I don't know. But I'd be curious to see how it goes, how it plays out.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the one I heard about Amazon buying them was on Facebook. Like, somebody posted it on Facebook, and I was like, yeah, that makes a whole lot less sense to me. But I'm no expert, right? I've got no clue.
Yeah.
But, like, just from a share, like, how would Amazon pay for it? They don't have any money.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got lots of stock, right? They could buy it with stock or whatever, but
they don't have cash like Microsoft or Apple or...
No, not that I'm aware of anyway. Who knows? Maybe somebody smarter than I can chirp in on this. Then Oracle, like, I could see Oracle buying it. IBM, I could see IBM buying it.
Some of them don't make any sense. Some of them do, some of them don't. Some of them are just kind of like, huh?
Well, that's a big pill to swallow, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see, I guess. Hopefully we'll see who the suitors actually were and who, if anybody, ends up buying it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
We will see. We've got some friends who work there, so it'll be interesting to see what ultimately happens.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of rumor and speculation, but we also have some news, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So some of the news. Let's start on the cloud front, on the Azure front, because there was some stuff that was announced at Build. There's a new thing. Well, I shouldn't say this. This is new for customers, called the Service Fabric. I don't know if you took a look at this at all.
Yeah, not in any great detail. I read a bit about it, but purpose of our listeners and for me, enlighten us, I see.
So I'll put a link to it for what it's all about. But essentially, when you look at Azure, you know, it's all like it's a bunch of different services, and these different services have different scaling requirements, and they have different provisioning requirements, and a lot of them are smaller services, a lot of them are bigger or something. And so what they've got under the covers is that with Azure for years, they have this thing called the Service Fabric.
Mm.
And what this thing does is it helps manage the scale for things that need to like to scale really, really fast, or for all the different Azure services. So this is the kind of thing that's going to help like do orchestration and scale of like microservices, or build provision a ton of Azure websites when scale hits, or provision a bunch of VMs when the demand hits, and then be able to scale them back down. And what Azure's done is they've now productized it. They've made it available for customers. It's called the Azure Service Fabric. I guess the way that they're describing it is it provides high control platform that enables developers and ISVs to build cloud services with a high degree of scalability and customization. It was born from years of Microsoft's experience delivering mission critical cloud services and has been in production for more than 5 years. It's the foundational technology upon which Microsoft runs the Azure Core infrastructure and also powers services like Skype for Business, Intune, Event Hubs, DocumentDB, Azure SQL databases, across 1.4 million customer databases, and Bing's Cortana. So just show a bunch of different things there. It's just something that there's a good video to it up on for a session that was up at Build that we'll link to for people to go take a look at.
Yeah, gotcha.
That was one of the big things from Build that we didn't talk about. We did do, in episode 76, we did a brief Build kind of recap when we were there at Build. We had intentions to do that at Ignite. We had intentions to do that at Build. We had intentions to do that while I was over at Evo.
Yep.
Yeah. None of it happened. So sorry about that, guys.
We'll catch up slowly over the next wee while, huh?
Yeah. So, but that one, I'll put a link in the show notes to the Service Fabric. That one's pretty cool for those of you who are building applications that need some crazy big scale. So that's a cool one.
Yeah, nice.
And then they also announced a bunch of pricing things like general availability for things like Operational Insights and Express Route Premium. There's a cloud app discovery for Azure AD Premium, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, this one's interesting.
Yeah, this one lets you use, if you have a cloud service that you're using within your organization, it helps you find what cloud services you're using that have been hooked into your Azure AD. And it's funny because they use this term called the shadow IT, which I've never seen that, but I know exactly what it is. It's the you have an IT group for the company, but then one division has gone through and done their own thing. And so they're kind of been their own little IT group. And this way you can find what people are doing within your organization.
Yeah. Yeah. It's as more people log into these different services and things, popping up on IT's radar is super important to make sure things aren't leaking and data isn't going places the company isn't comfortable with and all that. So gives them a little more control.
I was going to say the other thing that we saw was Azure DNS.
Yes, this would be kind of cool. I think like so if you're building apps and things for the, you know, that ultimately have APIs or websites on the internet, then in the past you had to go buy your domain name from say GoDaddy or something, and then you manage your DNS maybe in GoDaddy or somewhere else, you know, whatever DNS hoster you choose. But now Azure can host your DNS for you, so you can maintain all of your A records and MX records and all that sort of malarkey in Azure, which is kind of nice. I guess it all just brings it in as part of the fold, and you can take advantage of doing all of your hosting of your apps and everything, and hosting of your DNS all from one place, and in a nice robust way, I guess.
Yep.
You know, your DNS is going to be up because it's hosted with Microsoft's DNS infrastructure.
I guess we don't want to go too long here. You want to talk a little bit about some of the Office 365 stuff that you guys have done?
Yeah.
Or that you announced?
Yeah, so the big one, we briefly mentioned it, was we announced at Build that we were going to do extensibility in Office on iPad, and Excel was the first cab off the rank. That Excel update has now shipped, and it's in the App Store for Apple users. So you can go update Office on iPad and you'll see Excel, and then in the little bar at the top of the app you'll see add-ins as a button you can push, and you can try using add-ins on your Excel on iPad.
I didn't realize that was in one of the updates I did for Excel just recently. I have to check that out right now.
Yeah, that recently went to the App Store. So that one came we were saying it was going to be by the end of this month, and we managed to get it in real quick.
Oh, that's good.
Not too bad. The other announcement we made is around this thing called the Unified API Endpoint. And I briefly touched on this, but basically in the past with Office 365, we've had APIs and we've had different endpoints for them. And so now with the Unified API Endpoint, you can authenticate against Office 365 once, and you can call all of the APIs you like at one URI, and you don't have to re-authenticate against different API endpoints across different URIs. So it pulls it all nicely together. It's all, of course, still scoped by what scopes in Azure AD your app has access to. So if it's not allowed to get access to your calendar, it won't be. But if it needs to get access to files, it can. So all of that still applies, but it really just sort of brings our 365 API story together and makes it simpler for developers. You know, it's one more step on that API journey that we started at SharePoint Conference last year.
This is a really big deal too, because I mean, from a developer's point of view, having to go to the discovery service to find out what things are available, to get the resource ID and the endpoint.
Exactly, yeah.
And then have to go get an access token for each one of those different things you're going to touch. Being able to do this just one time, it really kills a lot of back and forth traffic. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's a predictable endpoint, it's a predictable resource. And so, yeah, it's really cool that you guys put this one out. That one's in preview and will just be getting better and better and better. But for the developer, the way I like to explain to the developers that are out there, it's just essentially a proxy in front of all the existing Office 365 APIs that are out there. So it's...
Yeah, you don't have to... I think Yina at Build, I think it was, did a demo where she took an app that called... the existing Office 365 files in API, I believe, and then changed the endpoint and reran it against the unified API. So it's, you know, the endpoints and the URLs change, but the APIs are for the most part the same.
Yeah, the discovery service just essentially goes to being obsolete once this thing goes RTM.
Yeah, well. There is still a need for discovery service because you don't know if the customer is a 365 customer or not. So you can still call the discovery service with an email address and like me at andrewconnell.com, right?
Oh, great. Now they got my email address. Thanks, dude.
and c.johnson@microsoft.com. There you go. Just to make it even. I should have given an email from a different Chris Johnson. Anyway, So I could call the Discovery Service with my email address and it'll return back and say, oh yeah, this person's a 365 customer and here's the endpoint you should use.
Yeah.
Right. But in the future, you'll be able to call that with the consumer services as well and see, you know, how to get access to their OneDrive consumer, for example.
I guess to everybody out there, think about all the different data that Microsoft has on you. Wouldn't it be cool if this thing like went crazy, crazy far? Like think, go all the way to like, even like if you're Xbox Live and you want to be able to get that kind of consumer data, or you, it's not just Office 365. I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff that you could see where this can go. So this is just the tip of the iceberg. It'll be really cool to watch how this evolves.
Yeah, still early days. And it's just, like I said, it's the next step on our API journey. We knew we wanted to do this for a long time, but it's a stair-step approach.
Yeah. This is the big one. This is, I guess, y'all's big news that came from Build. You had other ones for the video portal API, OneDrive, for the OneDrive API, OneNote API, Skype SDK.
Yeah, there's a blog post with a whole lot more in it that is up on blogs.office.com/dev.
There we go. And then I guess the other big news for most of our listeners is the big Ignite news, and that was around SharePoint 2016, the next version.
Yes, exactly. We could probably do a whole show just on that. And maybe we should invite Bill Bayer to come talk about it.
I'd love to do that. Yeah, if he could do that and just sit there and go over that stuff, that'd be big. Because, I mean, Bill did a couple sessions. He did one called The Evolution of SharePoint Overview and Roadmap, and another one on What's New for IT Pros in SharePoint Server 2016. We'll have links to those in the show notes, but holy moly.
I think we can justify it. I mean, there's a big hybrid story in there. We'll just make them focus on that. Let's keep it cloudy.
What's cool about it is that you can see how the fact that Microsoft has been hosting SharePoint in Office 365, that what you've learned, you can tell stuff has come from that experience down to the on-prem product.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Some people are like, they didn't listen to us all that time. And it's like, no, it's totally different. Once you do it, people can tell you about it all the time, but until you do it yourself,
yep,
that's when you really start to get perspective.
Yeah. When you feel the pain, you learn things.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
That's good. That was the big takeaways, at least for me. Those are the really big things. I'll put a link to the Office 365 news roundup that talked a lot about stuff from Ignite and Build that's out there. So take a look at the show notes. A lot of stuff out there. But yeah, last 2 weeks have been crazy, crazy busy and crazy, crazy content. So it's been, we were talking about what we're going to do in this episode. Like, we could talk for 4 or 5 hours, but
yeah. And apologies for feeling I sound probably completely brain dead. So apologies for that.
Hey, there's a reason why we didn't try and do this last week at all. We were both like,
and we're like, who?
Not shipping.
That's right. That's right. Cool.
Cool, man. All right. We'll do it again next week.
Cheers. I see.
See ya. If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text. We'll record it as a WAV or an MP3 file and provide a link so that we can play your question on the show. Our theme music is an excerpt from Evaporated Eric by Monk Turner, used under Creative Commons. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can find us on Facebook searching for the Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.